You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Roto Experts with your hosts, Mike Blewett and George Kurtz. Now, here's Mike and George.
Welcome to the Roto Experts in the Morning. It's the Sunday edition, the game day edition. Even though we technically don't have games today. But it's our new lineup. It's myself, Scott Angle, Joe Pisapia, taking you around the world of the NFL and the fantasy world for the next 2 hours. So please join us and feel free to join us on social media at FNTSY Radio. But first, before we even get into any news, Scotty Angle.
Good morning,
happy to
Joe,
be doing this show
morning,
with you, buddy.
Good morning, Joe Buck. It's good to see you and be working with you this year, the most professional broadcaster that I know and my good buddy. It's going to be a pleasure doing this. Hey, it's not game day, but it is draft day. And look, if you really want it to be game day, you know, take out the new Madden.
Yeah, there you go. So we also welcome to the program Joe Pisapia, who will be joining us. This is the lineup for your game days this fall. Myself, Scott Angle, and Joe Pisapia. Joe, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. And you know what? Not that Scott mentioned it, I kind of like to see Scott Angle on the cover of a Madden 1 year. I think that's where we need
why,
to
you
be
want
going.
To jinx me, Joe?
I was just going to say. You put the curse on
him? All those years you put in, I feel like you deserve a Madden cover.
Edelman, there we go. I appreciate that.
Edelman took the heat for Brady. Edelman took down the curse for Brady. Brady easily could have been on there this past year, yeah. So Edelman took it down, and so we roll into the 2017 season. So this is the crew. Myself, Joe Pisapia, Scott Engel. Again, hit us up at FNTSY Radio. I'm at Mike Blewett. Scott is at Scott E. Roto XEX, and Joe Pisapia is 17. That's Pisapia 17. So we're going to go through a lot today. As Scott said, many of you probably have drafts today, or certainly throughout the next few days as we head towards the season. There's always an interesting dichotomy this weekend because we're trying to push towards week one where we're setting our lineups, but there's plenty of drafts left to go, Joe.
Oh, yeah. Plenty of drafting left to go this weekend. I actually had one on Friday night, so... Look, if you've done it right, chances are that you're drafting this weekend because at least you have the clearest path to knowing what rosters are going to look like. So waiting is always best unless, you know, and this one's early drafts and you got lucky, you got a Kareem Hunt late, a couple other guys that have now been thrust into higher up positions. But right now, this is your best opportunity to start the year healthy.
And Scott, you have two drafts today, correct?
Yeah, I have one at 1 o'clock and one at 5 o'clock. And if you're still getting ready... Get your exclusive Edge Fantasy football package completely updated. Enter the King at checkout for a special discount. We also have the new Platinum package where you can hire myself or Jake Seeley as your personal fantasy advisor for draft
nice.
Day.
Very nice. I could use a personal advisor in other facets of my life.
Okay.
That's a whole different package, Mike. Different package.
Totally different kind of website altogether.
That's not platinum. That's more like a different color.
Yeah. So, well, you can take that a million different ways, and we'll take the show a million different ways over the course of the next couple of hours, as I said. So we're here until 9 a.m. Eastern. We're going to talk about roster cutdowns. Most of them aren't fantasy relevant, but a few are. And Scott and Joe will give you their opinions on that, as will I. It's the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Coming back after this. In 2016, Scott Engel predicted an impressive second season from Melvin Gordon. Jake Seeley recommended Jordan Howard. Bobby McMahon forecasted a Jay Ajayi breakthrough. George Kurtz saw a big year coming from Matt Ryan. And Joe Galina picked Rishard Matthews as one of his top sleepers. These predictions turned fantasy owners into champions, and the same crew returns this year with more savvy calls in the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package at rotoexperts.com. Don't miss the calls that create winners. Register now and enter free radio at checkout for a special discount. On the Roto Experts in the Morning, rocking out Chris Pavona behind the glass today. As we are live.
Technically, there's no glass down there.
Yeah, we're in a glass studio.
Yeah, but so he's not behind it.
Behind
he's
it.
Like Isn't he's like a floor under that. So maybe like maybe we
under
should like
wood?
Recreate this like under the floor.
Yeah.
How's that?
Yeah, that's all right.
Yeah.
locked away in his producer.
I call it the dungeon. That's
yeah,
what I like
it's a little bit more like a dungeon. I was going
to
say jail cell, but dungeon's
dark,
better.
It's not that dark.
Well, you know, it's like
well, it depends whether or not you're in the room.
it's
trying to say.
So Chris Pavona producing for us today. We are going to be here going over there's been a surprising amount of trades this preseason, this offseason. There has been an uptick in trades in general in the NFL, and we saw a couple of more yesterday. Scott and I were just talking about one off air, but Joe, I'm going to throw it to you first because one involves your you being a Patriots fan, and that is a trade from Philip Dorsett for Jacoby Brissett. So the Colts get some depth at the quarterback position, and the Patriots acquire a speedster wide receiver, which can add to their depth at the wide receiver core, which is obviously impacted by the Julian Edelman injury. So your thoughts?
Well, look, from the Patriots' point of view, which I think is going to be the more fantasy potential one down the road, Dorsett's going to need a little bit more time to, you know, get into the offense. Anyone who thinks that this is going to make an immediate impact, I think, is wrong. But it could happen. We've seen a lot higher end receivers struggle in the Patriots system before, so I'm not exactly holding my breath for him to be fantasy relevant at some point this year, but it's a good idea from a depth standpoint. I think that's the idea. This was a trade based on depth for both teams and where they're at. Do the Patriots really need another wide receiver? No, but it's nice to have. Now the Colts end, that's the one that's a little trickier because some people are going to read in a lot to this as well. Andrew Luck's really not ready, and they're continuing to do this, but you know what? I mean, who did they have behind Tolzien anyway? I think they really just were, again, backing themselves up and making sure that they have a little bit more depth down at that quarterback position there. I'm not reading anything too much more into this. I'm not buying the whole, well, you know, Jacoby Brissett's there just in case, you know, now Andrew Luck can't play because, well, you know, he started two whole games for the Patriots. That's crazy talk. So I still think Luck will eventually be back somewhere in the first couple weeks before had he been, put on the PUP list. I think that'll still work out okay. I'm not drafting him anywhere, regardless. I don't own him in even Superflex or two QB leagues because I have not seen a big enough discount on Luck for my personal taste because I'm concerned even when he does come back how effective he's going to be with that injury.
So, Scott, I'll throw that to you on the Luck discussion because, as Joe said, they're really trying to add depth there. What do they even have behind Tolzien? What if Tolzien got hurt in game one? They're going to need somebody to pick up the slack from there. But your thoughts really on Luck now. We've gotten all kinds of different stories at this point. You've talked to Dr. A, our injury expert. So what do you expect from Andrew Luck? When he's going to come back, and when do you think he has an opportunity to be near 100%?
You know, we got these great new player cards on rotoexperts.com. You go to the top right, you hit the player search, and part of the cards is an inside injuries area. And basically they're targeting him to come back about week three, week four. Something like that. Again, I don't read too much into Brissett. ESPN was breaking the trade down and saying it's more about them not being comfortable with Tolzien. And Stephen Morris had a better preseason than he did. But what is Morris, like an undrafted free agent? Mm-hmm. So, you know, Brissett had a good preseason. He showed he could manage the game last year for a really, really good team. And, you know, they're looking to see that maybe he can be the backup quarterback of the future. I think they don't think they have the backup quarterback of the future on that roster. I think that played a lot into it. Tolzien, 13 drives, you know, this preseason, he only led him to 4 scoring chances. So, and was very, very erratic. Was disappointed to see that, though, because Tolzien was my 35th round pick in my NFFC draft champions, you know, because he might start a few weeks.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's got T.Y. Hilton and Dante Moncrief. But, you know, look, I wouldn't expect Luck to be himself by week 5 or week 6, but I was talking to somebody yesterday, and he wanted to trade Tom Brady for Melvin Gordon. And I said, go ahead and do it. He's really weak at running back. He can start Carson Wentz and maybe get Luck from the other guy, too. I said, but why don't you start Wentz until Luck comes back, you know, make the deal.
Yeah, I think that's kind of how you have to piece it together. Like, I had a league last year where I took Tom Brady, but I pieced it together with Matt Stafford, and I was off to the races. I was fine at quarterback. I think despite the fact that you're probably paying a little bit too high of a price, Joe, for somebody like Andrew Luck, where we know he's going to miss a couple of games, you can piece it together and still be okay if he's the Andrew Luck that we expect when he's healthy.
Right, and a lot of this has to do with the amount of bench players you're allowed in your league. You know, the style and the format you're playing has a lot to do with it. I understand wanting to take a little bit more risk there in a spot where you have a super flex available, where you have a little bit more flexibility in that spot, that makes a lot more sense. I would also say that if you know, the later you get Luck, the better you are. As Scott mentioned and you mentioned, it's easy to get backup quarterbacks. You know, there's some places where Stafford will go undrafted. Some, you know, Carson Palmers are out there. You know, I've seen lots of drafts where lots of quality quarterbacks are going undrafted, and you could absolutely go ahead and do that. And look, maybe you get a lottery ticket with Luck. Maybe Luck does come back, and he's as good as new. You know, 4 weeks
into the
season.
Maybe you get Luck with Luck.
It's possible. Yeah. No, no. You've done a cliche before me, and it's already before 8 in the morning.
I can't
allow that to fly. Maybe get lucky with Luck. I mean, that sounds kind of
I said get Luck
cliche.
With Luck. It's not cliche.
Yeah, that doesn't, that's
People
even
don't
good
say
English.
It very often. It's a
well,
joke.
Well, yeah. And so it begins. Here we go.
I'm going to work in some cliches. Don't you worry.
Oh, boy.
Oh, I hope you do. But look, here's a strategy right now. If you're drafting today, this is what you do. If you can get Andrew Luck late and you're in a league where you know that the bench is long enough for you to actually have a little bit of quarterback depth in there and have the second quarterback, then go for it. Take the shot. Because in most leagues, you know, most people aren't as smart as you are who are listening to the program this morning. That's what I have to say.
Thanks. Well, I appreciate that. Hopefully not as smart as you either, Joe, so you can take advantage of them in your drafts. But to put a bow on the Patriots-Colts trade, as you said, Dorsett, you don't really have any expectations for. If somebody went down, you could see him being a home run hitter, probably more of a DFS type of play than a rosterable guy if you're in a normal size league. If it's an extremely deep league, then you might have something there. Austin Carr, their rookie wide receiver, undrafted out of Northwestern, flashed a little bit during the preseason. He's the one that was really expendable by way of this trade. I think what's interesting about these trades, because the Steelers and Browns actually made a trade too, where Sammy Coates goes over to the Browns. The Patriots and the Seahawks made a trade for Cassius Marsh, who provides some depth on the line for the Patriots. I think what is interesting about these trades, A, is that we're seeing more of them. B, is that despite the fact that there's some rivalries involved, teams are still willing to make deals, Scott.
Yeah, I think so. You know, the Browns and the Steelers are a little bit surprising. Do you remember when Sammy Coates was a thing? Fantasy?
I do.
Well, I heard he actually dropped his plane ticket on the way out.
Yeah. Get that.
That was worse than my Andrew Luck joke.
We're off to it.
You can say that about Ted Ginn and a bunch of other guys.
This is a bumpy start.
I don't know if we can say that about... I don't know if we can say that with Ted Ginn.
Somewhere Tony Sagat is going... This film is really bad.
The circle is complete. You know, but, I mean, say what we will about Ted Ginn. We made jokes about him for a long time. The last couple of years of Ted Ginn, he's shown up. Sammy Coates, I mean, that was brutal. There were so many people last year talking about Sammy Coates, and that was just, that was a disaster. I mean, literally anything that thrown to him.
He goes
in
the Monty Ball file.
I'm a steal. Yeah, that's a good one.
He was like that kid in Little Giants. Remember that kid in Little Giants who couldn't catch anything and he had to put the stuff on his jersey and the stick-em?
Now we've reached bottom. He's quoting Little Giants.
Little Giants.
Oh, no.
Right.
No, you're so wrong. Little Giants.
It's the first full segment. The first full segment we got a Little Giants reference.
I don't care what you say.
By the way, we do have a great film. We do have, to those of you listening, I would like to welcome in also to our program, our fish. We have a fish in studio.
Yes,
and Joe,
a beta.
Do you know the name of the fish? He's a beta fish. I don't know anything about fish, but Scott informed me it's a beta fish. And do you know, Joe, do you know that we've named the fish? Do you know what his name is?
This is news to me. And no, I do not know the name of the fish, but I'm dying to know.
So we have a fish, and his name, Scott, drumroll, is?
Ted Finn Jr.
Ted Finn Jr.
So, was there a poll?
Yes, there was, like Mike Trout, you know, stuff like that.
So we do have a fish as well. But
he's not a trout. So.
There
were a few. Like there was even Jerome Bettis.
That's not bad.
That's not bad. Yeah. That's not bad at all.
Roscoe was very popular.
Why? Ted Finn Jr. is a winner, cool. though. I support Roscoe. That 100%.
Yeah.
So I think Ted Finn Jr. is the one that wins out. But
yeah, I think Sussman wanted like just Finn Bieber.
He probably would.
Yeah.
I can't go with that. So anyway, the Sammy Coates thing. Look, I'm a Steelers fan. I didn't get it. I never got it. I've seen him play a lot, and I just never got it. I think there's
he
some
never ability. Got it either. He dropped it.
Yeah, there's some ability there, but as you guys have detailed, it just drops a lot of passes. I know he dealt with multiple broken fingers at one point during the season in which he was dropping all those passes, but nonetheless, he is no longer a Pittsburgh Steeler. talk a little bit more about a couple of other trades that could affect people on the defensive side of the ball if you're playing in IDP leagues. We'll talk a little bit more about some cutdowns that happened yesterday. Mike, Joe, and Scott, back after this.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things, just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Hiya! We're rocking. Back into the Roto Experts in the morning. It's the game day edition. Rocking out with Scott Angle.
Joe Pizzapia.
Scott, so to those of you that have heard me on Sundays for the last year plus, and maybe don't hear Scott during the week, Scott likes to rock out. Scott likes to get loose in the studio. Yeah. He does a little chair dancing. He does some air guitar. He does some air drums. And he'll bring us back in with a little bit of a rendition of whatever song happens to be playing. And yeah, I can appreciate
course, my
that.
My favorite band there. Thank you, Chris Pavone. And Joe, you know, I listen to commercials a lot during the break. What's this new fantasy black book commercial with Chris Pavone sounding like an old woman with a cigarette?
Well, I can't attest to what Chris
the
sounds
fantasy
like.
The fantasy football black book.
It's the fantasy football black book. What are you doing, eh? Come over here.
Come over here. Honestly, I want to have a smoke with you.
It's just really, it's before 7:30, and now I have this image of Scott Angle and the word chair dancing. So, I know it's not that kind of chair dancing, but there's something in there now in my brain. It's just, I'm sure you are.
So, to make a very not smooth transition, I'd like to talk about fantasy.
And yet still smooth. Somehow you pull it off.
I'd like
amazing.
To talk about
he
fantasy.
He worked with Cincata for years. He can handle anything.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of pitfalls that I've had to step out of the way.
Tried to take a cigarette from an old woman?
So, Fantasy Factor is our new partner. And they're running another NFL Survivor contest. It's $1,000. Winner take all. It's free to enter, so simply sign up at www.fantasyfactor.com and make your pick each week. The last man standing takes home $1,000. So someone is going to win the $1,000, might as well be you. Fantasy Factor is the only DFS site that is exclusively single entry contests. www.fantasyfactor.com. So sign up now and get things going there. So as we continue to talk about some of these cutdowns, some of them were, I guess, head scratchers, you could say, because, Scott, we talked a little bit during the break. The Seahawks had an undrafted rookie wide receiver named Kaysen Williams who played his tail off, and people thought he was going to make the team. He gets cut. The thought is that because they had drafted Amari Darboh in the third round, that maybe they had some draft capital attached to him that they didn't have to Kaysen Williams, so they made that move.
They did, but they could bring him back. People were actually asking me during the preseason, is he a thing? You can't always overrate what you see in the preseason. I don't know if he's Victor Cruz necessarily or anything like that. You know, they might bring him back, or some other team, like, look, maybe some other wide receiver desperate team like the Bears and the Jets could sign him, and you never know, maybe take a flyer, or just not take a flyer, but keep him on your watch list.
Yeah,
just name it, tuck away.
Yeah, another.
I had my eye on him personally. I'll tell you this too, you know, because I saw that game a couple weeks ago where he caught that ball in the end zone, wrapped around the defender, and I was like, "Wow, that's an impressive catch there." And you saw him get targeted a couple times in the red zone, and I thought, "Oh, there's a little interesting mid-salary guy. Should he end up starting with some of the injuries they had, and then the curse trade?" But yeah, it's kind of a bummer for me, and I never thought I'd say this, but I'm bummed here about the Seattle Seahawks getting rid of this guy.
Yeah, but you know what? When he made that catch, Paul Richardson's like, we already got somebody here that does that type of thing.
Yeah. So what I'll say about guys like this, or people listening and be like, man, can we just figure out when I can take Zeke Elliott? I get it. We'll get to that. But there are players that play in deep leagues. I happen to be in a particularly deep league where it's a 40 roster spots. It's IDPs as well as offensive players. So you need to know about players like this. And Cason Williams is the type of guy that you could sign to a practice squad, which that league has. And here's what I'll say about practice squad players. If people out there listening are dismissing players like that, Danny Amendola is a practice squad guy. There's a lot of guys in the league that are very productive that became extremely fantasy relevant over time that started out this way. They got cut, got signed to a practice squad, and then they blossomed into a really good player. Right, Scott?
Yeah, they, you know, that's happened. And I was in a startup dynasty auction this year, and you know, we have five practice squad players. So you know, Nathan Peterman, he's going to be in my press box, you know, when the season starts.
Same here with me. I signed him up too because what if, you know, Joe, like what if Tyrod Taylor finds himself either a
Tyrod Taylor to Jacksonville.
Yeah, either Tyrod Taylor not playing well or Tyrod Taylor playing fine, and then the Bills realizing that we're not signing this guy after the year. Let's get a look at Peterman for the last six games because we're not going anywhere, right?
Yep.
Oh, yeah, and I just love hearing the name Peterman because automatically I'm just saying, everyone go downfield.
I knew he was going to do this.
My God. Scotty Engel, I'm so excited to do the radio with you. I can't shake it no matter what I do. But look, this is a bad situation for the Bills, just generally speaking now, because you had a spot where I felt very good about LeSean McCoy a month ago. And now all of a sudden when I'm starting to watch this offense kind of struggle, you watch Tyrod Taylor struggle. And not that it's, you know, that they have the hardest schedule in the world in terms of fantasy, but I'm looking at it and I'm just starting to get... You ever have like a general negative feeling about a team, and not like the Jets? I mean like a team that you thought was going to be mildly productive from a fantasy standpoint, and then the trade happened with Watkins, and then the Tyrod Taylor injury, and now just everything's starting to kind of close in a little bit on Buffalo, and I'm starting to just walk away and look in the other direction.
Scott, thoughts about LeSean McCoy? I think I'm leaning in the same way as Joe. I've always been a LeSean McCoy supporter. I felt like there's people for the last several years trying to get out a year early on him, but he's been able to produce. Granted, he doesn't stay healthy for 16 games, but very few bell cow backs can. So have you adjusted your thoughts on LeSean McCoy? Are you higher or lower on him than some of the other experts?
Read my first round guide on rotoexperts.com. Tells you what to do with every pick in the first round, and it's updated. I don't have LeSean McCoy in the first round. I don't.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing. You know what? I thought I was overreacting, but that's amazing.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's just like I like everybody. The 12 guys I definitely like better than him. And you know, with losing Watkins, he had his best games with Watkins in there last year. Played really well down the stretch with Watkins in there. I feel like without Watkins, the defense could load up on him more. And if you overwork a guy like that or get him too much defensive attention, especially at this point of his career, I think he can get nicked up a lot.
So there you go. Scott's thoughts.
If you draft
Jonathan Williams as a handcuff, or do you?
I took him in one league Friday night, a little late. But you know, if you're drafting LeSean McCoy in the first round, I think you're looking too much back at last year and not enough head to this year. Like I was in a mainstream draft, like Friday night, McCoy went fifth, and I was like, oh, goody. You know, it's like, sometimes we always play in expert leagues. I want to get a feel for other leagues. And then Aaron Rodgers went at number six. I'm like, oh, goody, oh, goody.
You know,
and then like, I got Ezekiel Elliott number 10 and Melvin Gordon in the second round.
Yeah. So, Joe, obviously when you're playing in leagues like that, a lot of our
listeners do.
Yeah, and what's funny about leagues like that, it's you and Scott and myself and all the other experts on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Again, hit us up on Twitter at FNTSY Radio. We do a lot of hemming and hawing and playing off of one another in our various expert drafts. And what's funny about these home league drafts is some things like that happen, like Scott just described, which can be good, but it also throws you off because you're not expecting the quarterback run to happen as early as it may have because they haven't been listening to us to wait on quarterbacks. So you find yourself in a draft like that, and you need to adjust your strategy on the fly. It doesn't mean that you won't still be able to do well, but you have to be mindful of maybe all the quarterbacks and the tight ends going earlier than you expected, and there being players available that you didn't expect to be there otherwise.
Well, yeah, and the key to any good draft is being flexible, and you have to understand that you have a plan, but you know, when these things happen, like Scott's talking about, where players that you don't think are going to go start going ahead, you know, when Aaron Rodgers goes in the first round of just a standard 10-team league, you look and you scratch your head and go, why would you do that? You know, but those things are going to happen because there's going to be a lot of casual players in a lot of these casual leagues, or even some money leagues that people, they take it seriously, but maybe not as serious as they should. And the good news is, for every time there's a bad pick ahead of you, that means more talent's going to make it down to you. So just stay disciplined, stay with what you've got. And also, should something odd happen where a wrench gets thrown in or a weird run happen, it's about being flexible. You can't always stick to, yes, I'm going to do this in round one and this in round two and this. That's idiocy. You have to. The draft is a live beast, and you have to treat it as such. And you mentioned before, too, about some of the practice squad guys. I was just looking at this, guys. Arian Foster, Jimmy Smith, Charcandrick West, you mentioned Amendola, Jake Delhomme. There's been a lot of guys who have made it in the last, you know, couple years, who have, you know, made some impacts in the world of the NFL off practice squads.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And Scott, the one thing I would say about Joe talking about the draft, it's why I don't marry myself to the zero RB strategy. I can do it, and I understand why people like to do it, but personally, I don't marry myself to one strategy because of what we've just described.
You know, so many people, like, will talk to me and they'll say, well, you know, I have a number one pick. I'm thinking these guys might be here, you know, when because of the way I've mocked it, you know, so far. Every draft is different, even the mocks. You spend too much time stressing about, like, then you get the other people. Oh, I'm at number 10, and these are how the first 9 picks are going to go ahead of me. I know it. You don't know it. Every draft is different. People change their minds on the fly. If sometimes people telling you who they're going to take, they might be lying to you. You can never predict what's going to fully happen ahead or behind you. So just cue. What I do every round is I cue like about 6 to 8 guys up after I've made my pick. And then when it's down to my turn, I just take the guy on the board who fits the roster context. And basically, after round two, it's like you're not drafting off of overall ranks. You're drafting for roster context after round two or three. Let the draft come to you. Go with the flow. Don't try to stress yourself out by predicting what's going to happen.
I have the number one pick overall tomorrow night. It's the only time I'm going to have the number one pick
tonight. Yeah.
In the last couple of years, I think it's the only time I've had it. And as a Steelers fan, I'm actually kind of bummed, Joe, because I think I'm going David Johnson.
Well, I can understand that. I don't think that's a spot where I don't think you can really go wrong. You know, when you talk about, well, this guy's really great. You know, it's like this girl's really hot and this girl's really hot, too. I mean, you can't really worry about that. I don't think that's going to be too much of a problem. But it's that third spot that can be tricky. You know, I mean, Antonio Brown's out there. But if you pass on running backs, it's trickier.
Yeah, we'll talk a little bit more about some of these cutdowns, how they might impact you in your deeper leagues. It's Mike, Joe, and Scott on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
It's the summer, but you can already feel the howl of the winter wind. You don't want to go to the beach. You want to break out that heavy coat and head for the stadium parking lot because nothing makes you feel warmer than football season. But you don't have to wait for the calendar to flip a few times at rotoexperts.com, where fantasy football season has already started. The award-winning team at Roto Experts has you ready for the new campaign with the return of the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package for 2017. Packed with tons of in-depth insights from the industry's top experts, we get you fully prepared for a championship campaign with a deluxe draft package that includes projections, strategy articles, sleepers, busts, a cheat sheet generator, and so much more. And you're guaranteed additional access throughout the regular season. So put your gloves on now, even while it's hot outside, and get into mid-season form. Go to rotoexperts.com and register for the 2017 Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Enter code FREERADIO at checkout for a very special discount.
My name's Jimmy. What's happening? Let me tell you all something. You don't like me, I don't like you. I'm gonna stand next to your fire. Got to play guitar left-handed like this.
I'm left-handed, so I wouldn't have a problem with that. The problem with that would be that I don't play guitar. So, that's Joe, that's a challenge. If I try to air guitar, I can do it left-handed, but I don't play guitar, so it's going to look phony. It's just gonna.
I love the visual bits on the radio. It's my favorite.
Yeah, it's good stuff. So
have an imagination there, Joey.
So thanks for joining. Thanks for hopefully our listening audience does as well.
You know what? I'm glad we're doing this. I missed co-hosting with Joe Pisapia.
I know you miss me on Sunday mornings. I get up early to taunt you.
What show did you guys do together?
We did this one.
This one exact one.
3 hours last year for 17 plus weeks. With me and Scotty Angle, and then Tony Cincotta.
Yeah.
It was a tough room, Mike. It was a tough room.
Yeah,
we had a good time.
Yeah, it's tough it's tough to keep it serious with that combo.
What's that? I don't know what that means. I'm not sure what that means.
Exactly. So we did take some calls yesterday, and we're happy to take some more calls today at 844-843-6879. That's 844-FNTSY. As I mentioned earlier, hit us up on Twitter at FNTSY Radio, and I'll take a look at some questions there during the next break and see if we can fire those up and ask any roster questions, draft questions, that kind of stuff. So a few more things happened yesterday. Scott, Seattle was actually very active here. In addition to having to cut a certain amount of players, they made the trade with Cassius Marsh. We mentioned earlier the Cason Williams cut that people were raising eyebrows about. But also, they waived Trevon Boykin, who was, people thought, more similar in style to Russell Wilson, and they felt like he was going to be, some people might have felt like he was a shoe-in, but as you said to me before the show even started, he had a really rough preseason, so they opt with Austin Davis to back up Russell Wilson moving forward.
Actually, it was an up-and-down preseason. Started out very optimistically, and you know, then he started to throw a bunch of interceptions and was very erratic. I hate to say this, I don't want to jinx it, but Russell Wilson has never missed a game regular season or postseason, even if he got banged up last year. If he doesn't, you know, I would want to see Austin Davis in there, you know, complete game manager. I was hoping that they would sign Kaepernick, actually, because he would make a lot of sense. But let's see what else, you know, comes out there, you know, out of the cuts. Like, well, there's not really anything quarterback-wise, so they could always re-sign Boykin. Plus, you know, he had off-the-field concerns this offseason. I was actually surprised that they retained him.
Yeah. And who knows? That may have ultimately played a role in making that final decision. As Scott said, Joe, Kaepernick seemed like, when Seattle was doing the voir dire of Kaepernick, it seemed like that was going to be the team. That was going to be the name where.
That's right. That's what you get when Mike Blewett hosts. I just wanted to put that out there.
Yeah. Thanks, buddy.
You get vocab. You're welcome.
Corey Parson would be like, who's voir dire? Is he a defensive back?
I don't have him on my team.
So I thought Kaepernick was going to be the guy that was going to be the fit. Ultimately, it didn't happen, so we continue that saga. But in any event, Russell Wilson will no longer have Trevon Boykin behind him. As far as a few other things out there that are fantasy relevant, and in this sense, I'll say it's fantasy relevant because these players were, at times, fantasy superstars, but we may have seen them come to an end of their career here, and that is, for one, Chris Johnson. Chris Johnson was cut by the Arizona Cardinals over this weekend. Kerwin Williams wins out that backup running back job. Chris Johnson doesn't play special teams. He was going to be a third, fourth running back. When that kind of thing happens, it's usually the end of a career, right?
Yeah, I think it is. And, you know, Johnson had a little, you know, secondary bump there last few years where he became, you know, just kind of a those handcuff type running backs or guys, you know, maybe waiver wire if he was starting, if somebody else was injured ahead of him. But yeah, it's probably the end. And, you know, it's a couple really good years for Chris Johnson, a player that I think that, you know, I don't think anything close to Hall of Fame worthy, but certainly a player that fantasy owners will remember maybe more than NFL fans as time goes on. But, you know, you mentioned Kaepernick before. I agree with Scott. I think of all the spots there, stylistically, that would be the best one for him in Seattle as a backup because he fits in that same mold as Russell Wilson. And I still think it's crazy that he's not with a team at this point.
And Scott, another guy that probably seen the end of the road, especially since their wide receiving core was impacted pretty negatively lately with the injury to Cam Meredith, and that's Victor Cruz's released by the Chicago Bears. Seventh-year wideout, obviously had some devastating injuries, and it looks like this might be the end of the road for him.
Yeah, it looks like Cruz really wasn't getting drafted anyway, so and that says something because the Bears really have a mishmash there. Like, we were covering the NFFC draft yesterday. You can listen to that on demand. And when Kevin White went in the eighth round, and I think Kendall Wright went in the same round, I'm like, I don't know. It's like maybe these professional guys know something that I don't, these NFFC players, because I don't want to draft any of the Bears wide receivers. I wouldn't be surprised if we're picking up Deontay Thompson in week three.
Yeah, and if you have return yardage eligible players, Deontay Thompson could be a super deep sleeper because you could pick those up as well.
It'll be interesting because I think Trubisky had a Russell Wilson, Dak Prescott kind of preseason where he deserves to play. I don't know what's wrong with the Bears there being stubborn about Michael Edden. I think once Trubisky gets in there, it's a matter of who he's comfortable with.
That's a John Fox situation.
Yeah.
He's a very old school guy. I think he's going to be the type of guy, Joe, where you have to really earn it. He didn't even have Jordan Howard on the field at the beginning of last year when it was clear he was the best player in that backfield.
Yeah, and it's funny, you mentioned Jordan Howard, too. I can't believe some of the questions that I've gotten, and Jake Seeley's really, he had a stroke about it last week, I'm pretty sure, because he was so, I mean, that Cam Meredith is impacting Jordan Howard's value this much is just insanity. Like, anybody who wants to drop him off the draft board, I keep saying to you, where did you think Cam Meredith was last year? Go back and look at the numbers, what he did. Go back and look at the quarterback play. Go back and look at everything and try to remember something that happened last year and realize that this year it was going to be the same. Defenses were going to key in on Howard no matter what. Defenses are going to really be worried about him more than anybody else and make Howard beat them, not Cam Meredith. So Cam Meredith going down for the season, although unfortunate, he's a nice wide receiver in terms of fantasy secondary guy that, you know, had some good moments last year. And I'm a fan. Don't get me wrong. But holy crap, like he went down and all of a sudden it was like, you know, we lost Dez Bryant or we lost Antonio Brown or A.J. Green and all of a sudden now the whole offense has changed. Holy crap.
I mean, the Bears' issues still remain. They have significant defensive issues, which helps us as fantasy owners because they're going to have to be trying to move the ball down the field regularly to try to keep up with other teams because the defense can't contain them, Scott.
Look, somebody's got to catch the ball there. We just don't know who it is yet. Kevin White hasn't looked good. Kendall Wright had his opportunities in Tennessee. He didn't make anything of them. Marcus Wheaton didn't make anything of them. Again, write this down. You know, like, it's the name of your kitchen table. Football season. Who knows? A guy like Deontay Thompson might step up. You don't know.
I have I have a share of each one of those guys, Joe. I have one Kevin White share and I have one Kendall Wright share. And I think I'm probably good with that.
I don't have either one of them in my top 50 at wide receiver.
Well, I think Wright is the guy that, you know, you say, well, he's played in the system before, so that's a bonus. Like, you could talk yourself into that and being fantasy relevant. I don't know if any of them will be really, you know, good fantasy returns. The good news is, you know, guys like Wright aren't going to cost you anything. And, you know, best ball, you throw a flyer on somebody. Okay, whatever. Yeah. That's fine. But going back to this, I want to try to jog everybody's memory that, hey, how many of you had Cam Meredith on your boards at some point last year?
No, never.
You know what I mean? That's my question.
Never. Yeah, so I'm with you. So
maybe somebody in Chicago did. But
now it's the end of days because he's gone. So now Jordan Howard can't possibly be useful.
Yeah, look, we might have picking up Josh Bellamy at some point. You know,
it's entirely possible, and it sounds silly, but it's entirely possible that guys like Deontay Thompson and Bellamy have some fantasy.
Who had Tyrell Williams on their board at this time?
But if you had to take
right?
one of those two, you're saying you're watching one of the NFFC drafts yesterday. Which one would you take first? Would you take Kevin White or would you take Kendall Wright?
Kevin White.
Joe?
Higher on the depth chart.
You know what? I would say Kevin White because of the quote-unquote talent, but for a guy who hasn't been on the field at all in 2 years, it doesn't make me feel warm and fuzzy. I'd almost rather, in a way, say, how much later can I get Kendall Wright in the deep league?
That's exactly how I look at it.
Cliche, warm and fuzzy.
Can I get him a little bit? Can I get him a little bit later? I'll go with Kendall Wright.
When I hug you, you'll feel warm and fuzzy. It's not a cliche. That's real.
Let me go.
Two good looking ball guys.
Let me wrap up the segment with the Niners. Yeah, I know. Okay. Let me wrap up the segment with the Niners. So Jeremy Curley got cut. That was $3 million guaranteed. They just cut him. So that probably spells good things for Marquise Goodwin, and that buzz could be real. Additionally, Remember the rumors a month ago that Carlos Hyde could be a cut and he was going to lose his job? Well, Tim Hightower got cut and Joe Williams just went on IR. So credit
Tim
to Andy.
Tim Hightower actually got cut?
Yes. So
I thought he was going to, but so I didn't see the final.
Matt Breida, and credit to Andy Saxton, who was on Fantasy Football Frenzy with me on Friday. He said Matt Breida is a guy, if you're looking for a deep sleeper, a guy that wasn't drafted, keep that in mind that he's probably now the backup to Carlos Hyde. So Carlos Hyde's job, more secure than ever, Joe.
Well, yeah, this is the best possible scenario to draft Carlos Hyde in this year because Kyle Shanahan did not get his way. If you believe the narrative of the offseason, that you believe that this wasn't him pushing Carlos Hyde to be better, that this was him really saying, hey, you're on notice. You're not the guy that you're a guy I'm inheriting, not a guy that I'm choosing. And to me, Carlos Hyde's always been a guy that's been a big disappointment. I understand you can point to, hell, look, he's been good when he's on the field, but when he's on the field is a problem. I think the offense will be better this year. If you're asking me who I want to own most in this offense, it's Garcon even more than Hyde, especially in the PPR formats. But right now, when you need running backs, he is the number one, and there's no real competition, so you feel better than normal about drafting Hyde.
All right, good stuff. So Carlos Hyde, I think, really solidifies his rankings towards the top of the draft board. We'll talk a little bit more about that, some other guys, as we careen towards the end of the first hour. On the Roto Experts in the Morning, Mike Blewett, Scott Engel, Joe Pizzapia. We'll be back after this on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Our way back into the final segment of the first hour, raging towards the end of the first hour, I guess you could say. So Joe, he's a guy we've talked about a lot, and we're probably all annoyed that we've expended so much energy on him, but Brock Osweiler got re-signed by
Scott's
the Broncos
right there. Oh, I thought you were talking about Scott. I'm like, he's right there.
This is genius by John Elway. It's like he got outbid for him last year, then he gets him back at the league minimum.
It's amazing.
$16 million
saga. Yeah, the saga of Brock Osweiler, and here he is back where he started. And look, it's why not, right? If you're John Elway, why not, right? You say, well, this is where he had the most success. Not that I don't know if it's a lot of success, but hey, why not? It's just the epic tale of Brock Osweiler. I'm basically shocked that he ended up on another squad so fast. Even though it's the Broncos, I just can't believe it. Are you surprised about that, Scott?
No, you know, they got Paxton Lynch out for 2 to 4 weeks, so I think the Colts probably should have signed him, though.
You're probably right, but maybe the Colts...
Maybe
the Colts didn't like what they've seen out there.
It was better.
You know, it is
and Colin Kaepernick still doesn't have a job.
Can I ask this question, though? What would the harm have been for the Browns to keep him there, Scott?
They don't really need him. Kaiser's the guy. And, you know, they got Kessler.
They're already paying him, though. What's the harm of him being in the room?
If he'd have played last year, I think there's a lot of harm.
I guess you don't want the rookie to
be in the film room with Kaiser and go, look, you really want to throw an interception there. That's what you want to do.
I mean, Joe, they couldn't play him. Because it was going to be like a Robert Griffin in Washington situation where they just deactivated him, because if he had gone out there and gotten hurt, it would have kicked in another guarantee for next season. So he wasn't going to play for them once it was very clear that they wanted to start Kaiser. But I just to not even have him in the room says exactly
how the story was going to end. Everybody knew, because when that trade happened, the remark from the Browns was, we were so excited to pull off all these draft picks and blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. We think we're rebuilding the organization. oh, and Brock Osweiler is going to compete for a starting job. It was literally the last line of the statement that was about a paragraph long, and that told you everything you didn't know about where Osweiler stood with this organization. So it's no surprise here, and you know, I wish Brock Osweiler well. Yeah, you make the point. It's the Broncos, and at least he knows the system. So if Lynch isn't healthy enough to go, there you go. You can at least plug him in there as a backup. But again, I'm Colin Kaepernick. I'm sitting there and I'm watching Brock Osweiler get turn after turn after turn. I think it's kind of brutal.
True. So last guy, Titans second-year wide receiver Tajae Sharpe was placed on injured reserve. So he was a guy whose name has been bandied about in fantasy circles for the last year. You will not be seeing him this season. And the last guy I'll mention, only because there's a fun fact I have associated with, the Detroit Lions waived rookie quarterback Brad Kaya. I could see him being a practice squad guy for them. Kaya was a draft pick earlier this year, but Matt Stafford, you know, he's there long term. We all knew that. Do you know the fun fact, Joe, about who Brad Kaya's mom is? She's an actress, and she's got a very famous part in a particular movie. Have you heard this fun fact before?
Brad Kaya's mother?
Yeah.
No. Who is it?
Mrs. Kaya.
She is Mrs. I don't know if that's her acting name, but in any event,
thanks, Scott.
His mom was Felicia from the movie Friday, as in by Felicia.
Ah, excellent. And so, he got waived,
lost,
which
time.
Is awesome.
Yes.
So how many Twitter messages did he get by Felicia?
That would be brutal. I hope he didn't get any. It would be a pretty decent joke, but I hope he didn't get any. And he'll probably be on a practice squad anyway. Anyway, that was the end of the first hour. That was fun. We'll come back and do it again after this on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.